Attention shoppers, we now have taste in the bread aisle. Dave's Killer Bread. That's right, an organic bread that's no longer a snooze for your taste buds. Dave's Killer Bread is on a mission to make the most of the loaf, to rid the world of GMOs, high fructose corn syrup, and artificial ingredients, and plant the seeds of good in all that they bake. Killer taste, killer texture, and always organic. Dave's Killer Bread. Bread amplified.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bolton from Bolton, the show where my brother Josh and I set each other up for lively hockey talk. And we are, well, into the Stanley Cup playoffs. I guess, well, a lot of series are over and some are reaching their conclusion, a game or perhaps two away from completion. And before we even start on anything, I guess just something that we ought to bring up and give a shout out and props to is Luke Henman of Cow Bay, Nova Scotia, who is the first ever signing of the Seattle Kraken, a three-year entry-level contract. I'm sure everybody here knows about that, but just thought, you know, we want to give a shout-out as well and say well done on that. It's pretty exciting. I guess, I don't know, we always say what's in the water over there. I don't know. I wonder what's in the culture, what's in the coaching up in the Dartmouth, Halifax, Nova Scotia, the greater region and stuff, because we're just producing a lot of players. And anyway, former Dartmouth major midget is Josh and I, former Subways. I guess they're the Steel Subaru now, but the major midgets in any case. Another, you know, again, that program creating good players that become pros. And look at this. So way to go, Luke. And now it's exciting because, you know, I was unaware of Luke. I'm living out in Korea, but now it's someone that I'll be watching. Right. So, you know, and I'm excited to see how the Seattle Kraken shapes up, what it looks like. And it could be a team that I could enjoy. We already said we like the unis and all that and the colors. Yeah. So I might be getting some Kraken gear. Well, now I've got another reason to pay attention to it. So that's exciting. And, you know, I'll be looking out for Luke. Okay, well, Josh, how is it going up there in Brookfield, Nova Scotia today?
It's going great. Beautiful weather. Everyone's just staying at home, so I got a lot more done around the house than I normally get at this stage before summer even hits. I'm ahead of the game, so we got a lot of gardens weeded and things. I have this one garden I haven't weeded in about 3 years, and I'm almost to it because usually we start at one corner, and by the time I get over to that, I'm like, screw it. I'm not doing any more this year. But I'm so ahead of the game. I'm motivated to get over there finally and see what happens. So it's been good. We're tidying up. We're a lot of new things on the deck. Enjoying the at-home life.
Big time. So there you go, folks. Getting ahead of the game, it motivates you to do more. What a thing. I always love that feeling. And you mentioned, you know, out on the deck or something. I think you just said that. But you're set up there. It's crazy, right? You've built furniture, for one thing. That's pretty crazy, right? Built deck furniture, which I can't even imagine. And then and it looks like really beautiful. And you're out there watching the playoffs the other night, right?
Yeah.
What a beauty.
In a couple of weeks when it's nice and warm, really enjoying the Oilers out there. But
maybe that brings us to, well, maybe we'll get to that in a bit. What about that? You don't want to go there right now?
Let's get the schedule issue over with first.
Okay.
And what I understand, I'm going to just bring it right up. I'm so mad. I knew it was going to happen. I called it before the playoffs even started. They started the playoffs before the regular season was over. They had the Canadian division starting 4 and 5 days after the rest of the world. How do you even do that? Who thinks that's a good idea? And then now, here we are in a situation where Saturday night, you got game one, Boston and the Islanders scheduled, even though there could be a potential game seven for Canes Preds on that night and a potential game six, not even game seven, for Montreal Toronto. If things work out, Montreal and Toronto could play their game seven when the Islanders and Bruins are playing game two. And then what? It's just going to carry on. I don't know how, as a fan also, how can you stay invested in the first round? How can you stay invested in a game seven that's potentially on Saturday night and somehow get yourself set and mentally engaged in a game one of the second round? It just doesn't work. I don't understand how that happens. So much happened in the first round, too. A lot of significant things. I mean, the Oilers got swept. Tavares got injured. The Caps got schooled. Gary self-destructed in the Pittsburgh net. The Canes Predator series is just an absolute wildfire. I just absolutely love it. I'm still mentally there. How can you possibly enjoy that as much when you're trying to move on to a second round? And the NHL already got lucky, like I said, with the Jets sweeping the Oilers, because they started that series 4 days after game one of Boston, Washington. So, you know, my head picked Carolina, as we said, for our picks. But with Everett, my son, as a Preds fan, my heart's been kind of rooting for them. And now I really want them to force a game seven, at least just to show the NHL that you're not going to get away with this. And it's not a good idea. Game seven and a game one on the same night. And maybe if that, they'll stop pulling this crap.
Yeah, well, you're already over three in the East there, so you might as well just bomb a couple more picks there. You'll probably pull off another one with the Leafs. You'll get one for four. But we've been killed on some of these picks, and I think that everybody has been. So I'm just taking a crack, but it is funny. But what's going on in there? You mentioned the Caps just got handled, and then the Jets and the Islanders were pretty much surprised. Islanders are not so much a surprise because people might have said, "Oh, could easily go seven games." Yet, what does that mean? But to come and just beat them in six like that, and just it was. We can go there in a bit too, but you mentioned Jari as well, and then the Jets. So, well, what are we picking out of that? So I will comment, though, just on the schedule thing itself. You said about the mental investment, and I'm like thinking, well, you'd probably just have to kind of ignore the first round and just kind of focus on these ones because it's exciting. It's near the end. This series has been going on. They've been building the rivalry, the hatred and everything, and then it's like down to the wire. Who's going to actually go on and keep their dream alive? And that's where you're invested at, and then game one. But yet – game one's always a very pivotal game. It's Caps and Bruins and Isles. It's pretty exciting. I mean, so you would get all pumped up in, like, if you were properly finished with the first round, you would go and get all excited and revved up for it. But right. I don't know how you're supposed to do it both.
You want to sit there and go, okay, that was just a wild ride. Who got through? Who's left? Okay, they're standing. It's like watching the first movie of a franchise of six movies or something, and then turning the first movie off 20 minutes before it ends and watching the second one. You don't know who made it through. You don't know what the conclusion was. You're always constantly wondering, oh, did that happen then, or what's happening here? Like, you just can't do it. No sense.
You see a bit of the other character story, but you still don't know, like, how are they going to tie up with these guys later in the movie, right? So it's not quite, playing something before it's done, but it is in somewhat. So it's a mess. Just let them catch up. When are they going to finally catch up? They're just hoping that one of these, there's going to be a couple of sweeps help them out. When you're going to be in the final, because it seems like it's going to get further and further, deeper. It won't be game one. It'll be game two or three by the third round. And then you're playing I guess they can't start the final until the other one's done. I guess that'll finally catch them up, right? The guys will be sitting there 3 weeks. We'll see how that all works out. So I don't know, man. Do you have something on the Tavares injury then that you were hoping to say? Or,
well, it's just one of those things where you like I said, mentally, like, you're engaged, you're invested. First time Montreal and Toronto played each other since 79, whatever it is. Everyone's like been dying for this. And then to have that happen game one and just kind of deflate things, it was just like it almost made you forget like what you were excited about. Because playoff hockey's crash and bang and battles, and there's some controversial things, and you get kind of, you have fun with it going, oh, that was dirty, or that was crazy, or did you see that hit? And you're rooting for things to happen. But then when that happens, you're like, why do I want this to happen to someone else? Like, let's just get through this now. It kind of loses its luster. Mm-hmm. So it was just one of those things where there were already a lot of things to be engaged with in the playoffs, and then when that happened, it was just almost like a, oh, you got to remember why we're even here, mm-hmm. So it was just a really significant moment, especially in a player like Tavares, who is just an icon in the league, and
big time. I think there's a lot said about it too, and I'm just gonna keep away. I will say I think it looks like he was skating today. as well. So that's a pretty good thing. And we'll see, maybe he can get back in before even the next round. I don't know if that's possible. They were talking about a couple weeks with his knee. It seemed like the knee was a bigger thing than his head, as it turns out, as scary as it looked, which is weird. You'd think, but that's what concussions, the nature of them. Sometimes you can recover quickly and you're feeling good. Then they give it the protocol and you're fine. But he was skating today. So even his knee looks like maybe something, trying to build it back up. So who knows how quick he'll get back, and that'll just be good. I don't know what's going on in the Montreal-Toronto game at the moment. It's happening right now. Folks are probably, it must be nearing the end or whatever. You probably know.
It was the second intermission when we sat down to do
this. And you probably know what's going on. So I don't know how likely it is that it's going to be over tonight. But, I mean, 3-1, you got to think the Leafs are going through. So we probably expect to see Tavares. So that'll be pretty exciting. But I'm not saying, who knows, Montreal. They're in Montreal. Do they have some fans in the building? They said they were going to have like 2,500 people in there.
They're in Toronto tonight.
Oh, okay.
The joke is that they announced that they would have it at game 6. And everyone was like, oh, well, that's no. Why don't they just announce they're going to have full capacity for the Stanley Cup Final? It won't matter. That was kind of the joke.
But Montreal say, we're having full capacity for the final.
but we'll see what happens. Right?
You know,
but they are in Toronto tonight. So
I thought the same thing when they were talking about, because I was thinking like how all the different rings are opening up more and more and more. And I was like, and even DC, where they're pretty, that's where you'd think the last place to open up, right? The heart of it, of all the political stuff, right? But they were like talking, the Caps were like, well, they're going to have maybe full capacity by June 11th or something like that. And I thought, well, why don't you just announce that you're having it for the final? Because you ain't getting there. But that's what they had said as well. Same thing, isn't it? What about the Caps? And do you have anything on that? You did pick them. I was there. I told you earlier, it's not your fault. I was hedging this big time. If you look at our last show, I was on there like, well, tell me the story and I'll agree, because I could buy the Caps as easily as anything. Now, I did happen to pick the Bruins, but how did they kill them like that?
Well, it's not, it could have gone either way. It would have been okay. I'm happy Boston won. It's not like I don't like Boston or whatever. They're fine. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of them. But it's what I said about why I picked Washington and how wrong I was that makes me a little bit disappointed, because I thought it was because they went through so much as a team with the whole Rangers fiasco and all. I thought they were just going to come together and gel and just say, let's just do this one more time. And they looked like less of a team than they've ever looked. You have Ovi floating on the goalie after game 3, was it, in overtime, when Smith scored in overtime for Boston? And whoever he was, some were saying it would be a defenseman, whatever. You just, as a captain, you just don't blow up a player like that. Mm-hmm. If Ovi doesn't come out and do anything in the next couple of games, that's going to become the defining moment of that series. And it's unfortunate that it kind of worked out that way. Mm-hmm. And it just made me like a moron, because I was like, oh, these guys are just like together and they're feeling it and they want to do it for each other, and all the whole TJ Oshie story with his dad, and everyone's just coming together.
And you got Chara in there, so they're motivated for him to go up against the Bruins, and Boston, they had it all.
Nothing.
Because that is the key to winning. The key to winning, we've said many times throughout my life, I've been saying it all the time, we say it all the time, and then even on the show we go on, but it's about how does your team really come together and feel like they want to fight for each other, and everybody just feels like, if I just do something now and everybody's lifting everybody else, that's how you win. It's not just having, buying a team, unless like the 2002 Red Wings or something, getting Hall of Famers. You can win. You can maybe buy. But even then, no, I'm joking. But even then, you have to have it that people are like each other and get along. And it's this real us thing. It's a unit that goes out and just wants to die for each other.
And now here's a fun fact about Alexander Ovechkin. All the playoff misery that the Caps went through, then they finally broke the curse, got through the second round, beat Pittsburgh, and then they went on to win the Cup. And all was like, oh, see, playoff performers. Washington is fine as a playoff team. Forget all that history. But now, since then, they haven't won a playoff series. They haven't made it out of the first round, Ovechkin's only made it out of the second round once in his entire career. Mm-hmm. When you think
and won the Cup,
boggling, and he won the Cup that year. Like, Sidney Crosby has 3 times as many Stanley Cups as Ovechkin has conference final appearances. Like, that's disgusting.
It is, and I'll tell you, that's I'm losing what I was going to say here. Oh my god, about that. Yes, you said that they haven't won a series since. And I thought that that's kind of, I was thinking that earlier that, you know, the Pens came, they had some struggles after they won the cup, and then they won back-to-back, bang, 2016, 2017. And then since then, they've had a hard time. And
they haven't won a
series. Yeah. And it's just part of, I think there's a whole many parts, something about all of that. You just, the averages or something, you just can't. And there's also something about, there's 31 teams. Like we always say, it's like your team's not winning the cup, we've said. And it's just like, you can't, not every team can do it just because you're built right near there. And everybody's every year going, well, what went wrong? What happened to us? It's, there's 31 teams. That's what happened to you. They can't, like, somebody's going to win, right? Like the, they, Boston would be like, what happened to us? We got knocked out of the first round. Capital, like somebody's getting knocked out. And it just has to, I don't know. It's very hard to put it all together. And these teams that win, then there's something else. Like it goes down and it seems like this big drop, but it's like, I don't know. Like you would think you could do better. But anyway, speaking of that, so it reminds me of the Penguins, right? Here they are again. They had it, they had their little fall after the 2017 hard time getting out of the first round or at all, or even into the playoffs last year. We'll go, whatever, if we want to call that. But
every day we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
15 straight years. But here they are in this one. And I thought it was different because it was about, we were talking about that team thing, how the team comes together. And they had that going on this year. They had just like, everybody was feeling it. I mean, that's why I really felt the Pens. I kind of just stick by them all the time. And somehow I feel like I'm on my way to like, when should I just give up on it and go, look, it's really just not right. But I can't do it. Like when I look again, I've like last season, I was saying the same thing. Yeah, they're fine against Montreal. They're fine. And then they just lose. And I'm disappointed in that they didn't give me something that I was looking for. And then this time I thought, well, this time it really is good. And then they just failed to give me something especially in the last couple games or something. I just felt like they weren't even, you know, they're skating hard or trying, but it's just this different thing. They didn't change anything. Mike Sullivan didn't change anything until like the last period. Right. It just goes and goes. And then also individual players, it just looked like there wasn't something there. So I was just disillusioned from what it looked like going as down the stretch, as they call it. Right. And the whole season. And then everybody coming together, the team they picked up is all good. So again, I think that they're a good team. They're ready to go. If you set them up again, right. One more time, they might go ahead and do it. So, but yet Barry Trotz just shut them down.
There's so many people are saying, let's get rid of the core, blow that team up. It's time. And I'm thinking, if you're trying to build a team and if you weren't the Pittsburgh Penguins and you were trying to build your team and you were looking for a team to model yourself after, you might fall on the Pittsburgh Penguins, right?
Yeah. You're looking pretty good.
Like the Capitals, for whatever reason, maybe you give up on it because they haven't had playoff success both before and after their cups, whereas the Penguins have had some before too. So you kind of have more hope there. But really, even Washington, like, you just ran into the Boston Bruins. Like, everyone in the league is so good that if you start over, then you just can't keep up with what everyone else has that isn't starting over. It's crazy how good teams are now, how deep teams are, even when they're not even trying to be deep. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. So do you blow it up, or do you just look for a couple of always those elusive key pieces that you need? Well, I don't see how getting rid of them is going to help. I don't see how trading a Malkin or a Gensel or anyone like that is going to help you, because you're trying to get a Malkin or a Gensel.
Yes.
You already have, and they're not outrageous cap hits. Like, who are you going to get? Who are you going to get that comes even remotely close to that for half the price? Like, you're just not going to find it. It doesn't work.
No. So you don't have it.
Let them retire as Penguins. You've had your fun. If it doesn't work out, then it's not going to work out. But if it does, you still have those guys to work around.
The shorter answer for me is that this team looks good. I'm ready to go for it next year. You know, do whatever you can. Maybe add something else. I don't know. Like, you know, I like a Tanev, that kind of player. Come on in. I guess that's different to what I mentioned to you. Berkey is probably licking his chops thinking, oh, this is an opportunity to implement my long pants philosophy. Get some big guys in there. That's what we need. And then, of course, you had Mike Sullivan's tweet you sent me. And that was a beauty. Or was it a tweet or was it a quote? What was it?
Well, somebody tweeted out the quote from the interview. It's like, we didn't lose this series because we weren't big enough. And it's like, that is clearly a shot at somebody going, leave us alone. Now, for my money, though, you mentioned Mike Sullivan, how he doesn't make any changes. Like, dude, he's such a he's a coach that when all things are working, he looks like a genius because it's like, stay the course. But, man,
the process, trust the process.
You have to be gutsy to trust the process. And I am a trust the process coach. So I don't mind it. You have to hope someday, somehow, that your players are going to come through. And if they don't, you know what? I don't think some of the changes you make are going to fix that. And that's what I didn't like about the Oilers so much. Every damn game they had a different line combination. Like, just relax. Just settle down, Dave Tippett. It really bothered me. Nugent Hopkins was their best player in game one, by far, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he's shifted off the line and he's playing with a couple of, you know, different people. And just when he's starting to get used to that, then the next day he shifted off again. Like, you just, and then he decided to play three players for an entire triple overtime elimination game. Like, and then just fill in people around them. You can't have people. I was looking at that going like, geez, those guys are on for a long time. Like, they have to get off. And I was thinking like, 2.5 minutes. And then the thing comes up. Darnell Nurse, shift, 4 minutes, 47 seconds. And he's still on the
a shift.
Like, a shift. And there was a whistle on that shift, and they left him on. So I'm thinking, okay, you're down 3-0. You win this game. What the heck are you going to do for the rest of a 7-game series, mm-hmm. let alone another series, trying to get anywhere in the playoffs, running three guys for 5-minute shifts? It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Have to trust your team. And what does that tell the other guys? Why would they try hard? Why would they all of a sudden work hard? We're never going to get on anyway. We just get put on token shifts with random people and we're just fillers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, we talk about being a team. I don't think they feel like a team right now. I couldn't imagine feeling like a team there.
No. As to the oil, though, what you want to say is if you're looking at it as a fan of philosophically or something, you're starting to step back and say, well, this wasn't the year they're supposed to. But I mean, I wanted to play that one to myself, like, well, this wasn't really the year. It's more for like next year or maybe the year after. But this is kind of almost like a bonus year. And that's what Kenny Holland was actually saying. He added one guy or whatever at the deadline. He's more like, I'm not going to go. You can't go for it every year is what he said. Right. And I get what he's saying, right, that this wasn't it, but it was kind of it. Like, I mean, we thought they were going to get out, beat these Jets. They beat them like 7 times out of 9 in the season. They had the Connor McJesus season where he's like, you know, gone and done crazy stuff. Drysdale's second by a long shot as well. And you think they're going to get out of the first round. And then you even had them pick to beat the Leafs. And I will say now, I don't mind saying I was holding back from going into any second rounds up because you might as well see how it all plays out. There's not much point. But I did have in my own mind Oil getting out of the North. But I mean, that's all done, right? So, I mean, that's crazy. So you could say that this isn't really the year they're supposed to go for it, but we cannot have to expect a lot better than that.
It's a year where they win a game.
Yeah, you might win it. You might win a game. You might feel good about that. But I mean, I do still think though, you know, Connor, what is it? He's 24 years old. I mean, are you kidding me? So, I mean, you're fine, but yet it's a really disappointing this season to have like nothing beyond that. It looked really weak from them. And it just like, even from Connor himself, just didn't look like he had any of that Connor McDavid jump and dominance. Like, just like, I'm going to wheel this myself. Cause they were winning games. They finished second in the whole North because they were winning games. Not that they don't lose 4 in a row. Right. That's not how, like, they were winning games, but just on that team, that the way that they play when he plays a lot or whatever. It was brutal.
There's a thing going around that, you know, the officiating is extra bad this year. And I don't know what drew attention to that. It's been bad for years. And, you know, I follow and I don't see anything different this year. Mm-hmm. But people are noticing it this year, particularly, and probably the Tim Peel incident might have had something to do with that. All of a sudden, people think it's different now. And then the playoff standard obviously changes. So people are using that saying, you know, you got McDavid, fastest player in the league. Are you telling me he doesn't draw one penalty in a series? And it's true. There were some things on him that he should have drawn a penalty for. But they're saying that that's, you know, the Jets wouldn't have been able to beat them if they weren't able to neutralize illegally the top players of the Oilers. And I think that's being too generous because it took at least two games for that to even be a problem. Because McDavid wasn't even trying to skate for game one. And then game two, there was like a little bit, but not much. I don't think he was really held up or urgent enough to be held up until partway through game two and then maybe into game three when they should have won anyway and blew it. Like, so I just don't see that as as big a crutch or an excuse for these guys because I feel like they didn't make the Jets do enough to have to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just frustrating.
It's very frustrating. It's probably a really good word. This is a disgruntled Oilers fan up in here, people. And, you know, and I'm just kind of thinking like I was thinking the other day, too, because I always generally am sympathetic towards Oilers like, because you like them. And also just from the 80s, I was back in the day, had them. And I just kind of like them. Right. I mean, I like that city and the whole thing about it. Right. But in the last few years, I'm like, why do I really I was just checking my real heart and going, do I really care? Like, and I realized that I didn't care much. Like, I just they don't inspire me to love them at all. Like, so I don't know.
I was watching game four, do or die. It's tie game, third period. And I didn't even, like, or maybe they were up 3-2 going into the third, right? I slept through the third period. This is the season. This could be the last game. I slept through the third period, woke up, and it was 17 something on the clock in overtime. And I was like, almost didn't even want them to win because I didn't want to have to watch this miserable nonsense for the rest of the playoffs. Like, it's almost like they don't deserve to win. They don't deserve my time. I was sending you some messages that were like, I was not showing them any mercy.
No,
it was as a fan, like, you have to do better than that for me. I'm sorry. You're losing my interest. Make something happen. And I'm not just basing it on this year. And I'm not like, oh, let's throw a Stanley Cup parade. Cause they had a 100-point season and a 56 game season and all that. And then now I'm turning on them. I'm going back to last year's playing round and how I'm watching this season with the tentativeness already because they blew it last year and they should have done better against Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it was just, are you even competing? And people will say, oh, McDavid was the leading scorer of the playoffs when they lost their playing round. So you can't blame him, but he wasn't really accomplishing much. He was just getting points here and there on power plays and things like that. It just wasn't, but he wasn't putting the effort in. He was 31% on faceoffs this year. Like, maybe that's not a strong suit, but it's just, if you're competing at all, you should at least stay at your season average of high 30s to low 40s. You should.
Well, that's what you're saying. Right.
Right. So this year he was 45%, I think, in the season. All of a sudden he drops down to 31. What's different?
I said it to you. You asked me about that. And I said it was because other players are kind of bearing down a little more. So he's getting his 45% off of just nobody cares that much in the regular season. And then this one, people care more, and then he can't keep up with it. And that seems to be the case. He's had 100 points, 105 points in 56 games. What is that? Everybody was pumping his tires or whatever expression you want to use, just praising him to, like, this is one of the greatest things we've ever seen. And that is all true, that we haven't seen much like that in history, only a few times. But when everybody else raises their game, where is that? You know, you're not just dancing through everybody in the North Division in the regular season, right? You are sorry to throw with that little shot at the North.
I was watching, talking to my friends on Facebook, and they're talking about the Montreal Toronto series because that's who they're fans of. And they were like talking about, it's evident that one team is better than the other. And I was like, it's evident to me that it doesn't matter because anyone who gets out of Canada isn't beating anyone else. Like, that's what's evident in the playoffs. But I got to give credit to the Jets because everyone forgets, oh, it's the Oilers and they blew it and all that. And, like, same thing with the Pens. Like, you got to feel for the Islanders. Like, look where they at in their French. Barry Trotz as a coach, man. Like, they did a great job. So I'm going to give credit to the Jets. What I noticed wasn't that they were holding the star players and getting away with murder. When an Edmonton Oilers guy was going to shoot, no matter who it was, all of a sudden, right before the shot, there was a stick coming over, and they were just pushing down hard enough to stop that. They're just desperate enough to stop that shot from going in hard. Stuff like that, the little tiny details. They were back checking instead of waiting for the puck to get to a player and then trying to skate as hard as they can. They were skating as hard as they could and getting to the player before they got the puck so that they wouldn't have to work as hard once they got there. That's sort of those little things. It's almost like it's just like that extra human effort that you just will yourself to win that battle. And that was happening all over the ice with the Jets. And it wasn't happening with the Oilers.
Desperate.
And they weren't illegal. They were just working hard and putting themselves in the right spots in the right moments on purpose, consistently.
And that's the story of the Islanders too. They were just frustrating. You're trying to get something going. You feel like we need a couple goals to come back, and you just felt like it can't happen. It can't happen because look, every step you make, you have to fight for it because they're making you fight for it. But then you should fight for it. That's why you throw out more Tanevs or something to say, you know, put him on with Crosby and say, go, right? Like, reward that guy to show everybody, here's what you got to do. And he did like bench Gensel at the end or something. I'm going back to Pittsburgh, of course. I'm just flying all over the place here. We're making connections here, everybody. But, you know, but he just was benched near the end because he just wasn't, I don't know what was going on with Jake. He wasn't giving it. I want to, how about this one, Josh, maybe tie a couple things together here. You mentioned Jari earlier, and I thought to myself, I was thinking at the time too, like, yeah, like we talk about the Pens, the things that were, you know, just didn't quite happen. But one might have been if you got the right goaltending that you expected out of Jari, that he gave you all regular season and last season to show you this is, we can get rid of Matt Murray because we got this guy and he's unflappable and all this stuff. Well, he didn't give us the right saves that we needed in certain times. So, you know, a couple games worth of things where you have to at least get one of those games out of him to change that tie, to make it a game seven right now, one of those. Mm-hmm. And then you'd be back home and, you know, I think we'd be feeling pretty good if you're back home in a game seven right now. And Jari kind of blew it. And the thing I want to tie together is the Mike Smith as well. So I don't know where we would pick up first. Just, we don't have to go crazy on both of these, but just make a comment on what did you think of Mike Smith and then maybe the Jari thing.
Well, I actually didn't think Mike Smith was that bad. Like, I'm not going to blame the series on him. I think Hellebuyck was that good. He stole, like, game two. The Oilers, as bad as they played in game two, in my opinion, probably should have won. Mm-hmm. And then in game three, they should have won. But they took that stupid penalty in the third period and started the whole comeback. But don't even get me wrong. But anyway, I think Hellebuyck was a big difference in that series, a calming presence.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation? Where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission. At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And Mike Smith was that calming presence. You couldn't just, while he didn't really do anything like outrageously bad, you just didn't have the sense that he was just tuned in or going to make that save that you needed. There was always a risk involved and mentally, like, and same thing with Jari. Like, you just, and again, the Islanders, Sorokin 4-0 in the playoffs. Like, he didn't play in any of the losses the Islanders had. And he had like a 1 point something goals against average. Like, so he was really, really good, which compounded just how bad Jari was, like, especially in that last game. It was brutal.
Yeah. And you felt like, go.
No, same thing. It's that mental, what's the point of even pushing when you know that someone's just going to turn around and just get one popping in the back of your net anyway? It's deflating.
That's what I felt like with Smith for a couple games, so I'm not going to go on him long, but that's a quick one. It was just that right idea that I didn't really feel like I felt that that weakness at the back there, that fragility. And that's that thing. It's this whole mentality. Yeah, you can see it. You can feel it when you're playing. You feel like, I can't let this thing get through me, because it's like everything is, you're scared. You're panicking in your own end because things, shots get through, it's going in. You can just feel it. And then as a fan, when you're watching on TV, you just see the thing, and you hate when the other team's nearby, because they'll throw it off the boards towards the net, and you think this something might go, and it might go in. And that's what the Pens were starting to feel. And it's really hard to play like that. Instead, when you have the one where you just go, it's just going to get sucked to him like Velcro, then it's like, they have to do something special. And if they do score, you don't even feel anything, because you're like, they just got one because of whatever. But you just play a different way. And the Pens were unable to play like that because he didn't give them that thing that he was giving them. You know, and I was feeling that fragility when I'm watching, and I could just see it, like, get it out of there. Meanwhile, you go back the other way and you start to feel like, well, why don't the Pens just start throwing stuff at the net? Because it's just going to get sucked up. And then you start trying to do other stuff than just getting shots to the net. It's, man, it's just the opposite feeling. And then you feel like if you just had it the other way, well, then what's going on with the other 10 skaters doesn't matter, right? It's going to be just the same game is just going to go the other way, because it's going to go through that guy and it's going to be blocked on this guy. So Sorokin was the huge, huge difference. And then, and Jari, I mean, unfortunately. Now, I don't think, I'm not going to go out and say that I'm all like, again, let's get rid of Jari and get somebody. I think he's still good. It's like you had that with everybody. Like, imagine anybody's career now. I try to look at it this way too. Marc-Andre or anybody. You have somebody who they're the biggest, the best person ever. Then they have some, you know, failings or whatever. And and then they're back. Like, he's on top of the world, Marc-Andre, for example. Sidney Crosby himself, same thing.
Vezina. Like, Pittsburgh ran him down and he's going to win the Vezina. Like, it's just, come on.
I know. So, and you got Sid himself. You got people like, back in those few years before 2013 or whatever, or before 2010, after 2010 and stuff like that. There was a couple of years where people totally thought he was done. It's like, well, it's all over now. And he came back and he's a couple cups and a couple Conn Smythes and all kinds of other stuff he's done since then, crazy stuff. And then it's like, and that's why, again, you come out on this one, you feel something. And I'm like, well, I'm not betting against Sidney Crosby. I'm not an idiot, right? I mean, and there's going to be a lot of idiots out there saying it's over. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be one of them. I'm not betting against him. I'm not betting against Sid until he retires. Then I'll be like, well, he's probably done. That's what I'll say.
And something you may not think of, you just don't think of this guy a lot, is Tuukka Rask. And if you want to see a fan base turn on a goalie, it is him. It's unreal. They just hate him. And here he is, winning us goalie in their franchise playoffs history, I think, or whatever, and just leading the pack. Just shut down guy. And
no.
On top of the world, and they just want to see him fail for some reason.
Yeah, what we were just talking about, if you want to let your team play a certain way, Tuukka's doing that for him. It's just like, it's Tuukka, we're fine. Like, just play. Like, who cares if a shot gets through? Like, just play the right way, keep going. We'll be fine. He's got this. And look at them. I mean, I feel good about it. I love Tuukka, but look how they treat him. So people, I don't know. So again, with Jari, as much as we're on him about that series and all that, I'm not about getting rid of him. He's going to be fine. He's got he has that head. He's 26 years old. They all said he's unflappable, all the stuff. He comes back, how much he bounces back from stuff. Well, then he's going to bounce back. I mean, some people didn't have great series either. You think I'm giving up on Jake Guentzel? Like, he's their leading goal scorer. Or I don't know did Rusty beat him this year, but whatever. But he's generally that guy, playoff guy too. He just, had one round where he just didn't have it. Okay. We'll see.
Giving up on him. A lot of people wanted to blow the team up last night. It was disgusting. Even like some of the major reporters that are saying, like, the last thing you want to do is, like, what are you going to reset this team to? Like I said, they're already where they need to be. Just relax, settle down, stay the course. And they were like, had to like leave Twitter because they were getting blasted with you, like attacked because they were saying, keep them. So right. A lot of people want fire the goalie coach, like not just get rid of Jari and the goalie coach, because obviously what he's doing isn't working.
Yeah, it's not working for a series. Like, I mean, I know it's big, series is big, but like we said, there's just other things that happen. There are 31 teams, there's gonna be 32 next year, and it just can't work out for everybody. Not everybody can win. That's the problem with sports, right? In life, everybody can win, I think, right? In my view, but in sports, you can't. There's a loser. If there's a winner, necessitates a loser. right? That anyway, this is not Leafs Nation, Pens people, right? Let's get going. Right. And I, look at that. I might just cracked at the took a crack at the Leafs again.
Why not?
But look, I don't know. But look at them, they're doing all right. I don't know what's going on today, but I'm going to go find out later. Don't tell me. Why don't we go on to this goaltender interference? You want to bring up something about that?
What's happening? Man. Well, first of all, I was looking at goaltender interference for a different reason, for a different project. And I'm reading articles from 2017 through the 2018. And they're saying goaltender interference is a mess. It needs to be fixed. It's a joke. No one knows what it is. And then you're looking at 2015, goaltender interference is a joke. It's a mess. Needs to be fixed. Here we are, 2021. Goaltender interference is a joke. It's a mess. Needs to be fixed. No one knows what's going on with it. So what I wanted to bring up was there was a couple of really important calls, really. There was one in Minnesota Vegas last night, but the one I want to talk about that everyone was talking about was Carolina Nashville in game six. Now, fortunately for Carolina, they ended up winning game six anyway, or five, sorry. Mm-hmm. Game five.
3-2. 3 + 2 is 5.
Right. But in game five, they scored a goal and it was called back for goaltender interference. And the explanation, which is always so vague, they just cite the rule, is that the goalie was prevented from playing his position, right? Every time.
Yeah.
They don't say who or why or what. They just mm-hmm. say that. It was felt. So anyway, and people are like losing it, going like, this is one on call for them. And don't get me wrong, I think goaltender interference is a mess. And I think I have a solution. I have a YouTube video I went through. It's like 10 minutes long or 12 minutes long trying to solve it. Mm-hmm. But it's a mess. It's terrible. You don't know what you're looking for. I don't know why the reviews take so long. But in this case, I don't think this is one where it's so confusing to me. I think this one, I can see how this would go either way. But the way people... I said on Twitter when it happened, the way people are going on about how it's such a ridiculous call makes me want to die on the hill that they made the right call. Even though I don't necessarily feel that strongly about it, mm-hmm. I can at least see their side to the point where I just want to argue with everybody that's telling me that this is one of those ones where you can't even argue against, because I'm going to find a way to argue.
Okay, I want to get into the what you saw there on that one, because you asked me to look at it, and then I looked at it for a couple times, and all I have is I didn't see that happen in the highlight that I watched on YouTube or whatever. I hadn't seen it at all in the game what happened. I saw your 10-second clip only without any sound or anything, and just looked at it a couple times and had my own idea. I didn't even know whether they turned it over or to let it go until you just told me. So that's all I've got. So I've really got my own judgment to go with it. By the way, I do want to say, though, before we get into that, you just said something about they don't say what happened or name anybody. It just reminded me, as soon as you said that, it reminded me of when I was 18 years old playing in Canada, the Canada Valley Lasers in the Central League. That season, by the way, folks, went to the Royal Bank Cup, really came close to winning. And anyway, I found myself as a rookie up on the first line. I was kind of the compliment guy on the first line. So I'm out there with the big boys on a PP or something, right? And we score a goal. And then it is called back. And at the time, that was a season I had to take number 10. I went back to my old number 10 for a season. Anyway, I was there, and the announcement comes and they said, well, the goal has been called back because number 10 on Kanata was in the crease. So I was like, oh, so I was like talking about naming people. Anyway, that was something they used to do, I guess. So I didn't like the sound of that. And that was just back in the day where they had for that moment time, like back in the Brett Hull 99, where, you know, the whole famous infamous goal and all that. Right. That was back when you couldn't have a skate touch in the crease. So today it would have been allowed because I'm just maybe I had like a heel in the top of the blue paint or something. But they called it back because of that. So I guess the guy was on it. And of course, there's no replay. It's just a referee watching and going, well, look at that heel in there. I mean, that's where they had the rules at the time. Give me a break. But anyway,
you just reminded me of a Brett Hull story just real quick. And it's about kind of scoring goals and stuff. I always wonder why after someone scores a goal, they're like, all right, let's go, boys. And I was like, you just went, right? So I said that. I used to say that. And then, lo and behold, later on that season, St. Louis wins the cup, and there's drunk Brett Hall at the parade and the going, now, usually you say, let's go Blues, but we just won the cup. So everybody start to chant with me. We went Blues. We went Blues.
And he's sure he wasn't talking about the Stars? He won the cup with the Stars.
I'm sure he was talking about the Blues.
Oh, you mean when the Blues won the cup recently?
When they recently won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, okay, then yes, Blues. Okay. I
part of the Blues organization. And he's like,
oh, is he in the Blues organization?
He's something. He was something with them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Maybe he's the living legend that they let do whatever they want in the rink because he used to play for them. And he was just up there going, we went Blues. And I'm like, I'm right there with him going, yes, they went.
I know.
So, but anyway, what do you think of this goal? Back to this goal. What was your decision?
Oh, I guess I'll go first then, because then you got the real, you have the whole, framework and everything to judge your thing. Right. But.
Well, no, I'm curious. I'm just okay. My sleeves are up. I'm ready to fight here.
I don't know. Did you say it got overturned?
It got over. It said okay. No goal.
Well, anyway, I watched it a few times, and I was doing the click to get the slow motion. I was waiting to see who came and who did what. And again, I didn't go too deep, but I did it a few times, and I said, that's enough for me. I'll hear what Josh says anyway, right? So, but honestly, I thought that's a goal. Like, here's what I thought. Here's what I saw. I saw the guy, and I don't know the guy's names and the numbers, but the Carolina guy comes across, and first of all, Saros is outside the blue paint when he comes across, and I thought, as if he's going to hit him. But then I was like, well, he's outside, but still he established the position. But then the guy didn't even hit him. So he just went in front of him nicely. So he got him, he got established in front of him without bumping him. And then he somehow kind of got backed in a bit, but it was his other guy and then his other player. But that's not good because you can't have a Carolina guy pushing your guy in. But then the other Nashville defender comes in, and then the other Nashville guy pushes them kind of backwards. And then the other Nashville guy kind of pushes in, and he barely touches them when he backs in. So I don't feel that's the big part where he couldn't make the save. It was when he couldn't come across. And that was a Nashville defender right there that he was blocking him. But as soon as he just ran to his own guy and couldn't get across there. So I was kind of like, you have to be really hoping for it or looking for it to try to say that he touches his glove a bit or whatever, right? Like, but that doesn't prevent him. He went across, and it was the Nashville guy defender stopping him. And that's why I saw it. I was like, there's no reason to overturn this, especially if it was called a good goal or whatever. I mean, you can add that on top. I don't know, on the ice. So I was like, that's a goal. I mean, and if it's not, then we ought to revisit what's going on here, because what is the goalie? They got to do something. And I even thought right away when he first had him in there, why isn't Saros just like not pushing him? Like he's just standing there in front of his crease. He's going like this, just give him a, like, get out and then grab yourself some, like, he wasn't even fighting for his space. So he wasn't just sitting there. And then when he finally tried to go across, there was a Nashville defender in his way. I was like, that's good. But tell me why it wasn't, or whatever you think.
Look, I'm okay. If that's called a goal, I'm fine with it, because I feel like there was too much going on. It was Fogley that was in the top of the crease, and I feel like he was sort of closed in on by the other players around him and backed in to Saros. So if your argument is that he was forced into that position, forced into the crease and whatever, that's, I can accept that. What I can't accept is people saying that, first of all, he didn't even touch him, because he did. He affected him. He moved his glove. He forced Saros to lean the other way. He kind of spun around this way a little bit. Like he had to vacate that space because of the pressure coming in. Now, like you said, he could have fought for it. He could have leaned on it and pushed. But he shouldn't have to do that. So I can see why they would call that. And it affected him enough that he was way out of position, to the point where now when the puck went that way, yes, he couldn't get over because Yossi was there, but he should have already been there. Yossi shouldn't have had to come in and clear Fogle out, because Fogle shouldn't have even been there, or Fogle, or whatever he says.
So I think it's Fogle, but
Fogle, yes. So I could see both sides. Like, I don't find it's as cut and dry. Mm-hmm. If I'm looking at that replay and the call on the ice is good goal, I'm not seeing enough to overturn it.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation,
where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission. At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But I think if the call is no goal, then I'm also not seeing enough to overturn it. Mm-hmm. Because there was so much confusion there, and there was contact.
There was a lot of confusion.
So all I'm saying is that if you're going to pick one example where you think the rule is such nonsense that how could this call be the call that comes out of the rule as it is now, you have to fix it. I think you got to pick a different goal. That's all I'm saying. Because there's ones that are way, way more obviously the wrong call than this.
Yeah. This one is nothing really, like I say, not too much to overturn either way. I don't know if this is the one that you use to start setting principles about it and all that. Another one I had in my mind, by the way, that I remember thinking at the time of these kind of keywords or expressions you got to use is that Fogel, once he was kind of there, he went across and went glided in front of him, didn't really do much. I mean, maybe he touched his glove, but he was already, and it was outside the blue plane, but yet Saros is established. So there's that. Right. I guess if they're established, it's okay. I don't know. But he kind of like glided out in front of him. And then he was kind of touching him a bit. But then later, once it got into more confusion, it was almost like Fogel couldn't get away. Like he couldn't get out. He wasn't really doing anything. And he wasn't, you know, they say you have to do everything you can to avoid the goalie. Sometimes you're allowed to hit him as long as you try to avoid hitting him, kind of like in certain plays, you're going to the net or something. You do everything you can. Then they don't call it that. So I just feel like he was kind of like, not working on like trying to get into him and backing away. So I was like, he's, what's he supposed to do? He's kind of standing there. He's trying to get out. And again, I also would like to see something more. This is just more general, I guess. But again, I hinted at it that the goalie has to be a little more something. Like there's going to be some kind of battle somewhere. And I don't mean they have to like push guys out of the way when they're in their space and blocking them. And they're like, hey, but I mean, light little things. Like it seems like guys, we want puck battles between players. And sometimes we're taking away a bit of that with certain, like any kind of light touch of something is nothing, is something, I guess. And people still, you still want to see people fight for stuff. And I wonder why goalies don't have to do a bit of like, it's like, you can't come near my space and just, whatever. It's like, hey, like, aren't you strong too? Aren't you like a hockey player? So I don't know if that's anything.
Cool. It's to stop people from invading the goalie and running the goalie.
Yep.
But they're not working with that spirit anymore. And I tell you, you know, I always try and say as a safety advocate, some of the checks that I say are bad and shouldn't happen as a player, I would do still. Same thing. Yes. I would still go to the net the same way Fogel did. And if that goal, if it was scored and I was on the ice in his position, I'd be livid saying I didn't do it.
Right. Especially if you're trying to get out.
And I'm trying to interpret. That's all.
Yeah.
But I do anything different as a player. So I'm not saying, like he's got to be better or he's got to do anything different. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah. We have to do better. I guess if you say you were talking about since 2015, it's the same story over and over again. We got to sort this out. What we need to do is start from scratch and say, let's imagine, let's not even look at a situation yet. Let's start what we're trying to do and go, what is our goal? Like you say, are we trying to protect goalies? That's pretty vague. Are we trying to stop guys from running? That's pretty a little better. I don't know. Are we trying to, you know, what's this mean to he's not allowed to play his position? We have to start off and say, what is our goal? Define that very clearly. And then define the next step that fits under that goes with that one. It defines your lesser goal and then your more specific goal. And then you can get to the end point because you're constantly on one that you want to fundamentally reach, right? Where we don't have that. I don't even know what we're trying to do necessarily. I have my own idea of what I think is fair. And like, I see, I'm trying to say, look, a guy can fight for space and people are allowed to, you know, you're allowed to like, fight for space, but yet goalies are different because they're not players and they're focusing on a puck and they're more vulnerable, etc. So there's all that to consider, but we have to consider that and then say, what are we doing? Maybe Tough Call has answers for that. I wonder. That seems to be how Tough Call operates.
I have a video on YouTube on the Tough Call channel that answers those questions.
Okay. Well, that's what I said. I said, we need to hear from Josh from Tough Call. Where's that guy? This is Josh from Bolton We need, but
Josh says that a player has every right to battle for the puck in the crease. He needs to enter the crease with the purpose of establishing position around the puck. And if he gets there first, that goalie can't just make contact and then say, oh, he was blocking me. Yeah, he's supposed to. That's his job. He's allowed to go in there for a hockey purpose. But if that goalie's up there where the puck is, a player can't just come in and shove him out of the way like he could another player, because goalies have a different job to do than a regular player. So they have a different hockey purpose. You have to let them be able to perform their hockey purpose, which is play their position. But I clearly define playing their position, whereas the NHL doesn't.
There you go. So I remember that video now that you say, that one, you go check it out, everybody. You have to go see what's going on here and then see and maybe comment on the video too, right? Try to refine, maybe help Josh refine what he's saying if you see something there, because you can only refine your thinking with challenges from other people, and that's what we need. So get on that video, get in the comments and tell them what do you think?
The other thing I don't like, now that we're on the subject of goaltender interference, is at first I was kind of on board with the idea of having a goal called back but not giving a penalty because of incidental contact.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, the more that causes way too much confusion. Because if the contact was so incidental that they don't get a penalty, then how much was it really affecting the goalie? If it was affecting the goalie doing his job, then that's interference and it should be a penalty.
I remember you made that point in your video.
Because that's how you stop players from doing it. If I'm going to go right now, I'm going to drive the net anyway, because if I barely touch the goalie, whatever call they make, we're going to challenge, and then someone up there flips a coin and they decide whether it's going to count or not. And more often than not, I'm going to get what I want, so why would I stop doing it? But if I'm going to go into the goalie and I know I'm possibly going to get a penalty, I'm going to be a little more picky and choosy about when I go and where. I think it's going to accomplish what they want with the stupid rule they have now, but it's actually going to make it clear what you can and can't do. That's where if you're hitting the goalie and affecting him in any way where he can't play his position, just like you would an O player. I know it sounds chintzy if you just barely graze the goalie and you get a penalty. Well, that's why I think if you just barely graze a goalie, then maybe the goal should count and there shouldn't be anything wrong, because it was just incidental contact. And now we're getting into there's a lot of chintzy things. Like if I'm just taking my stick and reaching for the puck and I accidentally hit someone's skate as I'm going by trying to get the puck off their stick and they fall, it's like, I mean, I barely touched him, but you affected his ability to skate and he fell over and you're going to get a tripping penalty. So why is it any different when I go graze a goalie? If it knocks him off enough, if it knocks him off stride enough, same with these little ticky-tacky holding calls they do now. If you just put your – and they even do that, and that's it. You're going to get a call. So what's the difference between that and going in on a goalie and bumping him just enough that his shoulder goes like this? Now, he could still reset. He had time to reset, but he shouldn't have had to reset. Who cares if he has time? He shouldn't have had to reset at all.
Interference. It's a penalty. Interference is the call.
Hold a guy, and then he beats you anyway. You're still going to get a penalty. They play advantage.
So it's basically not like we're disallowing the goal. It's just, well, that's a penalty, so you're gone. Like, it's right. It doesn't even matter what the goal happened, right? Like, it's just I got to think a lot more about that one, because that put like that, I'm on board right away. I was kind of like, well, I do get sometimes in incidental comp because people will still be discouraged, because it's like you number 10 in Canada was in the crease and you don't want to get a goal call back. Like, that's why I'm trying not to be in there, right? But then get a penalty on top is too much. But when you say that it's just like when you put your stick in a guy's skate, it's a trip. It's something not that you try to do or really egregious, but yet it's a penalty. Interference is a penalty. So, but then you saved it too for me with the if it's just incidental contact, then it's a goal. Like, because in the real thing, like, there's incidental contact in certain things, and play goes on because it's not a penalty. So, but I have to examine that closely. I have to hear back. I have to see more examples of what we're talking about and then hear other people too and maybe go, oh, I see. But at the moment, that's what kind of – I like a lot of how that sounds.
The big one is pushing the goalie's padding for me. Like, oh, that one. If you take five goalies pad in, the goal's called back. How is that not a penalty for interference? In my opinion,
right?
What if I just took a player and picked him up and moved him 6 feet away from where he's supposed to be with my stick? If I hook him back, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, pushing the pad. I just feel like that's just more like the play was dead. There was no goal. Like, it's no goal, but it's not a penalty. It's just like that's not the play. Just it's just the end of the play. But it's not about is that a goal or not. Like, it shouldn't be a goal. Of course it's not.
It shouldn't be a goal at all. It's ridiculous.
Of course it's not. Well, I'll tell you. I mean, maybe we can go in deeper on this one another time. Why don't we just move along, because we've been going pretty long here. Although I wonder now, I'm just going to throw it on you. We didn't have it planned because I was thinking, well, the second round's not all established. This is part of your problem with this thing, but your grievance here. What's that?
Josh is getting upset.
Yep, big time. So this is a play out of your grievance that we're actually caught here, but yet there is a series about to start. So why don't we take the series that we do know and call them? Is there only one? Because it's Lightning. The Avs are waiting for the Knights in the Wild, and the Lightning are waiting for the Canes or the Preds. So you can't call that one. And then the Leafs are technically we're technically waiting for the Jets are technically waiting for the Leafs or Habs. And I shouldn't say technically. I mean it is still then, but it's 3-1. That's a pretty deep hole for an underdog to climb back out of for anybody. But I'm not saying maybe it's going to go back and then the 2,500 fans will lose it on game six and bring them into game seven. And then once you're in game seven, well, I don't know if I'd want to bet on the Leafs in a game seven.
You know, Canadians have the fear of Ducharme.
I don't think there's fear of Ducharme going in. So I guess basically, why don't we call Bruins Isles before it starts? Because we might not get it. It might already start by the next time we get on the show here.
Well,
I never thought of it much, but
I haven't thought of it at all. But the way Rask and Sorokin are playing, I don't think that series will ever end. I just don't know which hot goalie to ride. So I'm in terms of overall consistency in generating scoring chances and being able to score in waves, I would say the Bruins, but I really feel like the Islanders, the way they play they're just always there. So I feel like the Islanders are going to upset the Bruins. That's my gut. So I'm going to pick the Islanders.
Okay.
Final answer.
Final answer is the Isles. Well, I'll put it out quick. Bruins I've got, but again, it was with a lot of thought. I mean, I said I haven't thought about it too much, but I did think for a few minutes one day and I was going back in my head just because I thought that the Bruins kind of more similar to the Pens in the way. And then I feel like that confidence in the Penguins that I had, and then it totally got shattered. And I feel the same thing about the Bruins, that kind of thing that they have going. But then the Islanders are just shatter illusions. So I don't know what to make. I can believe the Isles will win, but yet I think the Bruins are seeing what happened. They are rested well, which is pretty good, I think, in this case, because they'll need it. They'll need the energy. But I think the Bruins just have a lot of things going on that I don't know. They, like what I expected of the Penguins, only a little bit more solid mentally somewhere, Rask, that kind of thing that they have. So, you know, others still have it with Sorokin, but yet the Bruins have it with Rask. So, and it's not just on Jerry, by the way, but everything else. I just think they're going enough that it, the same way we thought about the Penguins should beat the Isles, we should think the same thing now. I don't like, so I'm kind of, it's almost like re-up in the same series, insert them again. Let's go again. Now it's the Bruins and I'll choose them again.
Now, I want to qualify that with the fact that, yes, I picked the whole playoffs, but I just do that. And it's a sense of how I feel at the time and I have time to prepare and I'm thinking about it. And so now I forgot those picks. I don't care. I like to see how they go, but I'm in the vibe of round one. I'm just all in on round one. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't thought about that until the second you said let's pick. And the time I answered was like, what, 45 seconds. So that's how long about it. I'm still in round one, baby. And once I get the vibe of round one over, I may feel differently.
Okay.
But
well,
it'll be too late and I'll cheat because game one will be over.
Well, now, let's put it in here. You can text me You can Facebook Messenger me your, if you say, no, you know what? I'm choosing the Bruins now that I've had time to think about before game one, and we'll have it. And then the next show, whether it's after or not, we'll put it. We can show the date and everything. So you still reserve the right to change your pick. And for that matter, maybe I do too, but I don't, anyway, I'm all good. So there you go. Reserving the right. But for now, we're coming out Isles and Bruins on opposite sides again here. I got my Bruins last time versus your other pick. So there we go. So I guess that's all pretty good for today, Josh. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a big show.
I think everybody's had enough of us already. So here we go. I want to go see what's happening in the Toronto and Montreal game. We got the Canes and Preds later today. That's exciting. We'll see what happens. I just love all the stuff, the bingo balls to fall and see how it all works out. Now, I can't believe Golden Knights and the Wild are in game 7 now. I mean, here we go. It's pretty exciting stuff. So very exciting, like you said, with all the round one happening, NHL making us go into round two before we're done with all that excitement. But I won't go there anymore.
Let's go Habs. Let's go Preds. Make them look stupid on Saturday night.
There you go. Yeah, let's extend these series. Josh wants to show up the NHL schedule maker. So that's all he's after at this point. Okay. Everybody else, here we go. I don't know what you think of anything that's happened. We'd love to hear from you all the time. So get up and, message us or get in the comments here. Tell us what you think about all we're talking about and enjoy it all in the meantime. And we'll see you next time. There's a big issue in general, though, just of my life, just looking like a twat in a hat, isn't it? Right? Constantly.
What? Yeah, the lesser known children's book.
My kids read Twat in the Hat and they loved it back in the day. But consider what's going on with the world. Nobody listening anyway.
My dad is a Josh Walton goal.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.